Shaddai Ela L'Shachrei. However, in the world of Erva, we find that really we have two tracks that we could speak about in terms of Eidus. One is the track that we've just spoken of, Lo Ibri Sadeh Ela L'Shachrei. Namely, if we were to have a married woman who lives with someone who is not her husband, that's a Maisa Tznus. That woman is usher on to her husband, usher lebaala, usher leboel, irrelevant if Edim were present or Edim were not present. The Edim are Edim lebirur hadavar. They simply come to court to tell us what is the reality. But the reality exists even without the Edim. However, in the world of Gittin and Kedushin, we have another level, which is called Edim lekiyum hadavar. Edim lekiyum hadavar means that the get, or the maisa kedushin, that which we're going to learn about, the kest of the shtar, without edim, simply is meaningless. That if a person were to stand in front of a convention of 1,000 hadassah women and be mekadesh one of them, and there's no two men, two kosher edim watching it, they are not. There is no marriage. There is nothing. That is not erusin. That is not kedushin. There's no kinyan. It doesn't give off the ground. Those are edim lekiyum hadavar. And we have these two tracks. We have the track of Edim Lebirur Hadavar, which is a universal track. And within the world of Arayos, we also have a concept of Edim Lekiyum Hadavar. Znut only requires Edim. Znut only requires Edim Lebirur Hadavar. However, Gita and Kedushin require Edim Lekiyum Hadavar. What about Chalitza? There's also an act called Chalitza. So this is where Reb Chaim comes in. Reb Chaim points out, there's a machlokes rishonim, what is the role of Edim in Chalitza? The Nebuke Yosef says, this is, if you look at yourself in the Reb Chaim that I gave you on the source sheet, that the Nebuke Yosef says that a Chalitza without Edim ain't a Chalitza. It's like a get without Edim. Or a maisa kedushin without edim is meaningless. Shekin, the Rambam says that chalitza without edim is chalitza pesula. Namely, it is a chalitza. It's a maisa chalitza. It's pasul for a technical reason that there is a requirement of bezdin by chalitza, and there's no bezdin. But it's not that there's not a maisa. It's not that there's not a chalitza. Chalitza is a chalitza. Even without midaraisa, the chalitza is meaningful even without edim. So Chaim says, what is going on over here? Why, b'chol ha'tara kula, do we have Edim l'bir ha'davar? Why does this concept of Edim l'kiyim ha'davar all of a sudden sprout up in the world of Arayos? And why certain situations yes, certain situations no, and certain situations we have a machlokas? So here Reb Chaim pointed out that in the world of Arayos, we have a concept that's called in the framework of Brisker Torah, Chalos Shem, that there is a halachic reality which is created. We take a woman who's a pnuya and turn her into an eishes ish. We can take an eishes ish and turn her into a grusha. We can take an eishes ish and turn her into a zona. Namely, this is not a question of buying a field or selling a field or borrowing money, which is simply an act that has halachic meaning, but there's no construct which is created. Here we have a creation of a chaloshe. And there are two ways in which a chalos shem can be created. One way is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man that ability to be yotzer, to be a creator, to create a chalos shem yesh me'ayin. Namely, that when a man goes through a maaseh of giving a pruta to a woman, saying hareyat mekudeshetli, that man, that gavra, creates, has the ability to create an eishes ish. He creates an Eishes Ish with all of the halachic status of that Eishes Ish. He can create this new halachic status. That's one track. The other track is no, that people go through motions, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a Chalos Shem. It's what we would call Memela. It just comes out automatically. Not that the individual is creating it. The individual does certain motions, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu stamps the motions with a halachic status. That's the track of znut. Person lives with a woman who is someone else's wife. Automatically, she becomes asura al ba'ala ba'asura al bo'ala. It's not something which is being created by man. My nafkamina, when you have a haloshem which is created by man, that requires A, das. It requires das. And B, it requires edim l'kiyum hadavar. That the edim, that in other words, that only when the act is done in front of edim, then is the haloshem is created. Masha'enkin, when the haloshem comes memela, there's no need for das, and there is no need for edim l'kiyum hadavar. It's memela. It all happens automatically. This woman is asura and her husband. The edim would only serve l'birur hadavar. They would not serve l'kiyum hadavar. So everyone agrees that in Gittin B'Kedushin, the human being, the man, the Mekadesh, is the one who's creating the Eishes Ish. Everyone agrees that in the world of Znut, the Mizana goes through motions, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the Isurim of Znut. The Machlokis is, how do we view Chalitza? Is Chalitza under the category of Gittin B'Kedushin? Namely, that Chalitza also requires the Das of the Isha, who is going through the motions, and she is creating this status of being a chalutza of the this is being created between the two of them, and that requires einim l'kiyum hadavar. That's the shita of the Ramban. Or do we say no, that here we're dealing with an act like snut? The person goes through motions, and the chaloshem comes about memela. That's the sheet of Anuka Yosef, with a nafkamina, of course, in terms of a katana. Could a katana do chalitza? If we need da'as, if we're dealing with that the human being is constructing this chaloshev, so katana doesn't have da'as. But if all you require is just an action, katana have actions, they can have kavana, they don't have da'as. And then, that's a machlokas rishon, and Reb Chaim wanted to be told by one another. That's basically simply a summary of Reb Chaim. Adkan, what's in the Chibur of Reb Chaim. Came Reb Soloveitchik and said, I have a masoras from Reb Chaim that this chiluk also moves over to the world of Ishus. If you have a Gemara in front of you, if you open up to that Yudam and Aleph, the Gemara over there speaks about the third track with which one can create a Kedushin, namely the track of Bia. And the Gemara has an abaya. You see it about 10 lines down. There's two dots. Yivayelu, tchivas bia kona, osof bia kona. That bia is a process. It has a beginning. It has a middle. It has an end. Which point in the process is the kinyan of ishus, the erusin, the kedushin? At what point is it chal? At what point do we have this haloshem ishus? And the Gemara gives various nafkiminis, etc. And the Gemara concludes, only a few lines later, Amar Ameimar Shmei de Rava Kol HaBoel Daito Al Gemar Bia, that when an individual would be Boel, a woman, with the desire that she become his wife, he's Boel her in order to be Mekadesher, his Das is to be Mekadesher with Gemar Bia, with the consummation of the Bia. Okay, that's the Gemara. Comes along Tosfos, Yiramas Kol HaBoel, and asks, we have a black and white stira between our sugya and a sugya in Yavamos. But over there, the Gemara says, Isha nitnes lebala beha'ara. Ha'ara is what we call tchilas bia, the very, very beginning of the process of bia. So, what do? You have two Gemaras that associate one another. So, of course, we have some six terutz in today's question, four of them in Tosos. And the last terutz of Tosos, he quotes from Rav Nissen Gom. He has a tradition from Rav Nissen Gaon, from the Gaonim, Dehidi Yavamos, Airi Achar Kedushin, Dayadei Oso Ha'ara Have Kinesua, Kamo Chupa, De La Achar Kedushin. That the two Gemaras are apples and oranges. The Gemara in Kedushin is talking about Bia as a means of Erusin. And the Gemara in Yavamos is talking about Bia as a means of Nisuin, to create Nisuin. The equivalent of chuppah. It's the second stage. And so in the world of bia, that of erusin, gmar bia. In the world of bia, of nisuin, tchilas bia. What kind of teretz is this? Leaving aside, how does it fit into the language of the Gemara? That Tosfos himself was bothered. Gemara over there speaks about kinyan, etc. That's usually the phrase which is used for erusin. But why should there be a difference? What does this make sense? So he says, no. Rav Chaim said, no, this is what Rav Nissim Gaon meant. That when we're dealing with the world of Erusin / Kedushin, when we're dealing with creating a Chol Shem, when we're dealing with that which requires Eidim Lakiyim HaDavar, there you need Das. And the Gemara says, Kol HaBoel Daito Al Gemar Bia. However, when we're dealing with Nisuim, there's no need for Eidim Lakiyim HaDavar, there's no need for Das. Nisuim is like Chalitza, according to the Rambam. Nisuim is like snut. Nisuim is simply that a husband takes his wife into a cheder yichud, and automatically she becomes a nesua. He turned her into an arusa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns her into nesua. He has to go through motions. So he needs kavana, but he doesn't need das. So in terms of kavana, when he begins a maisa via, he has kavana. He doesn't have das. You know, his das is on the gemar via. That's what he views as his das, if you'll ask him. But in terms of the entire ma'isaviyah is one of kavana. Namely, that what the Rav says is that the same distinction that we have between erusin and snus, we have between erusin and nisuin. That nisuin is that which comes about memela, comes about on its own. There's no need, this comes out according to the Rav, for Eidim Lakiyum Hadavar by Nisuim. This is the Rav in the name of Reb Chaim. Not all Achronim agree. There's a famous Marcheshes who black and white disagrees, and Reb Shechter has a whole article in the Kvei Hatzon in terms of Eidim Lakiyum Hadavar for different worlds of different parts of the world of Ishus. But in any case, this is the construct that the Rav has. But the Rav, what he tried to do is take it one step further and point out this construct is not just a dry conceptual difference, but this terminology has meaning that would give us a better understanding of what are these two worlds of Erusin and Nisuin. And this the Rav did in a hesped that he gave for his uncle. The Briska Rav was the Rav's uncle, Yitzhak Zev, Rav Velvel. When he passed away, the Rav gave a hesped, a Lamport Oratorium, in Yiddish, and later on he himself translated it into Hebrew, published it in a publication at that time called Hadoar. That was the English Hebrew publication. In America, that was the Hebrew publication. And then it was published in a book on Hashkafa v'Harecha, Mashu Kaseh, about the entire Hesped. And so in the page that you have in front of you that I printed for you, I just want to read with you that which he wrote in the Mado Det Midot. I'll explain in a little while why this is part of a Hesped for his uncle, this distinction between Erusin and Yisuin. The page is by Ari over there, if anyone doesn't have. Alken Ya'azov, Erusin v'Nisuin. It could be given as a part of the Hebrew exam to see what you get, get smicha. Erusin v'nisuin hem shnei shlavim hem b'talich halot ha'ishud. Up to this first line, that again you'll find everywhere, that we have two stages. However, what the Rav is pointing out, mavlitim hem shnei tzurot nifradot shel hakesher ha'atik ha'notzar bein ish l'isha. These are conceptually two worlds. Yesh hevdel mesuyam ben shnei shlavei ha'realizatzia. Shela hitkashrut ha'ishit. Ha'erusin mushtatim, they are built al kinyan, kesef, shtar, bia, v'hazika nikvat eyedei pu'ula tsuranim. Namely, this is what we spoke about, how do you create a chalol shem? In the world of erusin, it's created v'pu'ula tsuranim, in a formal manner. Halachit chukit. Namely, that this woman, post-erusin, is now, judicially, this individual's wife. From a legal perspective, we have over here a woman who changed from being a penuya to being an eshes ish. Mushreshes hi ba'achlatat ratzon chavshitu bedat makne umitchayevet. In order for man to be able to instill that halos shame, that halachic status, it requires da'as makne, and as we pointed out, also eidim lakiyum hadavar. Hazika hi kinyanit isurit. If we'll ask what is the result The result is basically A, her status, Eishes Eish, and B, that this world is, this woman is now Asura Akol HaOlam. That's the concept of Kedushin. She's Hekdesh. She is Asura Akol HaOlam. That we're dealing over here, we created a Haloshem that has negative implications. Ha'ishut b'matzav zem v'tamsemet v'ikara v'isur ha'isha Akol HaOlam. She is not yet permitted to her husband, namely, but she is forbidden on the entire world. Vashilaba Mugruba Achiyut. That they were dealing with much more negativity than positivity. Adayin Asura al Ba'ala midivrei sofrim. The husband can't be intimate with her. Arus va'arusa shtei chativot existential, right? Existentialios. Hey, they were dealing over here with two individuals who are each living their own lives. Tchumeki umam mesuyagim heim adayin. Each of them is in his own box. Metaphysically, existentially, each of them is still separate. Ha'ish bihit badluta, va'isha bihit badluta. Each of them is still a lonely individual. Ha'guvul ha'mafrid bin shnei ha'kiyumim lo nimcha. He gar bebeit aviyah, hu gar bebeito. She is still the na'ara bebeit aviyah. He is in his own. Ha'yudim shonim hem. They have different goals in life. Mavlitim simanei ha'ker tochniyim mahutiyim mi shalahem. B'mashmaut psichit chavayatit, from an existential perspective, adayim zarim, and we're dealing with two strangers. Hazika hi chitzonit, the connection is purely legal, tsuranit, formal, ahatama hurkava al tzav halachiyatach. Okay, masha'enken, the other side of the coin is nisuin. Nisuin ofek ha'ishut mitrachehu mitameh, karilizatzia shal nisuin ba'ayidei yichud. Yichud symbolically represents a connection, chupa. Reb Chaim haya sover she nisuim einam zukutim lo ledaas makne. It requires kavana, but not daas. Vegam lo le'edut l'shem kiyum hadavar. Again, this is exactly the distinction that we just said over. This is the Rav. This is not in the Reb Chaim of the Chibur. Reb Chaim of the Chibur distinguishes between gitin and kedushin and znut, with chalitz as being a machlokas. Here we're dealing with erusin and nisuim. This is the Rav telling us, this Reb Chaim said, based, as I said, on that Reb Nissim Gaon in Tosfos. Rak kavana nechutza. Ein pulat nisuin mesuyemet kayemet klal. There's no act, it's simply a state of being. Ha'haseg ba me'ela, what we call memela. Namely, we're dealing over here with a new haloshem. This woman is now not only an eishes ish, but she's a full eishes ish with a heter levala, with a din of Yerusha, with a din of Tumas Kohanim, etc., but this is Memela. It comes about from the fact that they are Nisuin. Ein ma'asekinyan karuch v'nisuin en chalutam zeihaim ha'vachina ha'tsuranetu chatit shomarechet ishu. This is not the formal legal act, this is an existential reality. Ma'u ma'uto sh'yichud chupa ha'arus v'harus ha'korchim et chayim v'kiyum echad. Simply the moment that the two of them are in one chupa, whatever that chupa is defined, that creates a metaphysical reality, memela. Gorolehem mitmazgim, that now they have one fate. Yudehem mitlakdim, they now have a joint purpose. Min hayichud nolda hayachdut ha'amitit, there is now a oneness that has been created that previously did not exist. Yesh biyichud chupa min hasimliyut shel shituf nisyoniyot, that we have over here symbolically, that they are going to go through life together, hitrap kuyot, have adventures together, etgarim shokrita grit, ha metaphysic, ha existentialit, habal v'ishan nisuim ko echad bochein aleif mishnehu. There's an intuitive connection between husband and wife. Margish et chavayato yodeyat helech rucho. Ichud halavavot of kiva rhythmus achim, the two hearts beat in a similar rhythm. Nifamim umifamim hadadit, ha tfilot v'atachanunim mit marim va'olim ke'al me'al ke'achad. Even their tefillot are considered to be joint, mutual. Harutzuyot hamakdilot regashot novim, etc., etc. Okay, and the point says, therefore, of course, one understand this would bring about Yerusha because you're dealing over here with a joint ownership. This would bring about the tuma of the kohen because now there is a she'iro hakarov elat. Right, that there is a a braisa ishto arusa lo onen v'lo matanila, because the arusa is still a stranger. The nesua, that's where we have the avelut, the tumat kohanim, etc. Okay, so that's what the Rav stresses. The Rav also pointed out that there is a second nafkamina. In order to be able to appreciate the second nafkamina, we have to see a dogel berevava. I apologize for the print of the dogel berevava, but in the Bar Ilan that I had, they only had the dogel berevava on Eben HaEzer in the computer, and so I had to go to Otsar HaChachma, and so to find an edition that had the dogel berevava on Yerodea. Now again, what in the world is the dogel berevava dealing with the world of Ishus doing in Hilchos Avelus? So that's the first. Those are the first sukkis in Ksuvas, where you have a couple who are ready to get married, and then the father of the chasan, the mother of the kala, passes away, and the question is, what do we do? The kvura, the chuppah, what comes first? The shiva simei aveilus, shiva simei mishta, etc. So the Rishonim deal with what happened if something already began. And over here, the Taz in Yoredei and Siman Shimon Beis speaks about machasim rosh hakala b'shacharis. They used to do the badekin, like in England they have weddings at noon, so they used to do the badekin in the morning, and then only have the wedding later in the day. So let's say that the badekin already was, and then the tragedy occurs, there is now when the father, the mother passed away, has the wedding already begun? And so the Taz points out, Mechasim Rosh Hakala B'Shacharis Mikri Chupa, that here we have, we point out one of the definitions of chupa is badekin. So here, the chupa, is that considered to be enough to now say, okay, the chupa already began, now we'll have the shivas yimei mishta, and only afterwards have the shivas yimei aveu. So in Bach Eben Ezer, dafil lefi deya zo, shezeh mikri chupa, that even if you want to call the badekin a chupa, hainu b'medinas Rusia, shehachosan ba'atmo holech im harav l'chasot et rosh hakala ayin shem. The Noda Yehuda over here is pointing out is that in certain communities in Eastern Europe, the chassan did the badekin, where the rav would accompany him to the badekin. But the medinos halal, the moment you move farther west, and with Noda Yehuda is living in Prague, that the badekin was not done by the chasan at all. Pshita shein se mikri chupa klal l'shum deya di'esher liyot chupa b'li chasan o shluchav shah. Shima chasan haya l'chabit l'harav l'chasot rosh hakala esher d'shluch shadam kamoso. Aber medinot halalu tzad hakala machabdin l'harav b'kisu yinuma l'shum yediyat hachasan pshita de'ein se chupa klal. So Nodi Yehuda says that as to whether we can view the Badekin as the beginning of the marriage, as to whether we can view it as chuppah, depends who does it. If the chasan does it, we can view it as chuppah. If it's done by the wife's family, it's certainly not chuppah. If the chasan appoints someone to do the Badekin, then shluch al shadam kamosa, that would work. Here, the Rav disagreed vehemently based on a sugya in Ksuvas that... on Ksuvas, on Daf Ayin Dalet, there is a sugya in which the Gemara defines the conditions of a condition. What are the dinim of Tanai? And we all know that Tanai, that the world of Tanaim, to make conditions in agreements, is built on B'nei Gad u'B'nei Reuven. That Moshe Rabbeinu made the condition, made conditions for them, and based on, built on their conditions. That's how nowadays we make conditions. So if Meir said, just like Moshe Rabbeinu had the Hain Kodim Lulav, you always have the positive preceding the negative. You may need a Tanai Kafel. You have to go in both sides. If you do, if you don't do. Right? In other words, we learn out from the parish of Negan and Reuven the circumstances or the construct under which Tanai will work. Comes up the Gemara and says, that since B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven were dealing with a land transaction, and land transactions you can do via agents, so only that which can be done via an agent can you make a Tanai. If we're dealing with a transaction that lends itself to being done via an agent, like B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, they could be agents, then you could have a Tanai. But if it's something that you have to do on your own, that you can't use an agent for, then there's no possibility of tonight. That's what the Gemara points out. Tosos goes ballistic. Look at Tosos over here on the top. V'im tomar, mas svara yeshka. What in the world is the Gemara linking apples and oranges? What is the world of shlichus, of doing something via an agent? What does the world have to do with making a condition? Lo garmina mehasam elinyan mashe hu svara. It has to be something that makes sense. Having a tonight kafel makes sense. Having hain kodam lalav, the positive between the negative, that makes sense. But the whole loyal fina mehasam lo mahani tonight elvin is in a skarka. No one says that the only place that conditions can be made is in real estate transactions. Why not? Well said, b'nei gadar b'nei ruvain is a real estate transaction. You can only make conditions in real estate transactions. There's no such statement in the Gemara because it makes no sense. It's not a relevant condition. And so over here, why is shlichut relevant at all to the world of Tanaim? That's Tosus's question. Powerful question. And Tosus gives a beautiful answer. V'yeshlamar dehainu taima. The ho'il v'hama'ase. Kol kach biyodo. Shiyachol l'kayimo ayedei shliach. Svarahu. Shiyehei kamokein. Biyodo l'shivuyei v'tina'a. The Tosus points out, in order to be able to make a Tanai, you have to have control of the situation. Namely, you are buying land. When you buy land, you give over money and you get the land. You say, just a minute, I want this transaction only to take place in 30 days. Or I want this transaction only to take place if the market hits a certain point. Or I want this transaction only to take place if it's not going to rain for the next week. Since when? If you went through the motions of the Maisa, you gave the money, and you're getting the land, so why should your words mean anything? But if you're in control of the situation, if you're the balabayit, so you can make whatever conditions you want, what's the litmus test to know whether you're in control? The answer is, if you can make a shliach, that shows that you're in control. If you can make an agent, if you can give over power of attorney, that shows that you're in control. So therefore, how do we know what situations you can make at tonight? Any situation you can make a shliach, you can also make a tanai. That shows that you're in control. What's an example of a case where you can't make a shliach? So the Tosfos continues, Avol chalitza, ein biyado l'kayima ayadei shliach. Chalitza can't be done via a shliach, therefore, go have a biyado nami l'mir mebeit tanai. So you also can't make conditions in shlichus. That which you have to do on your own, with your body, you can't appoint someone. It means that you're not in control. In our language, what it means is that when you are the Baal HaBayit to make a chalos shem, when you are setting something up, like marriage or divorce, and you can do it either via shliach, you can make someone a messenger to marry this woman for you or to divorce this woman. So you can also make conditions in marriage and divorce. But chalitza, which Reb Chaim pointed out according to the Rambam, you're going through motions, and God does the chalos. You're not in control. Kadosh Baruch Hu is in control. You go through the motions. You can't say, I only want this to work if this woman will give me $1 million. I only want this to work if people will bow down to me. I don't know. In other words, you can't say that's meaningless. In such a situation, chalitza ein biyado l'kayim ayadei shliach, lo habi biyado l'mir mebeit tanah, afi lo yizkayim atanayei amayisei kayim, because it's automatic. So, in other words, what Tosfos over here is pointing out is that l'chora, we have another nafkamina between, according to Reb Chaim, between our constructs. That when we're dealing, again, we have over here the two constructs. We have the halos adidei adam, where man can create the halachic construct, man can create the halachic structure, the halachic standing, and we have the halos memeid, that you go through motions, you do a maisa, and then the chalos occurs on its own. It's not up to you. So the examples that we gave over here were gitin v'kedusha. The example we gave over here was snut. In terms of chalitza, we had a machlokes rishonim. The Rambam put it over here, then the Mukhe Yosef moved it over to here. My nafkamina, so we pointed out, one nafkamina was edim l'kiyum hadavar. That only applies to the category when the person is in charge. Mashain can in the world, when things happen in the Mela, all you have is a debir.
The Edim is lo ibri sahada ela le shakri. The point of another nafkamina is, do you need the asmakna? In chalos al yedei adim, you need the asmakna. Masha'enkin, in the world of mamela, it's enough to have kavana. You don't require das. A third nafkamina that we're seeing over here is, what about shlichus? That in this area where you're doing the chalos, you can give power of attorney, you're in control. You can give power of attorney to someone else. However, when things happen in Memela, then ein shlichus. This is the Rav's construct. Now, over here, what we pointed out was that according to Reb Chaim and the Rav, we added this category of erusin as opposed to nisui. Right? And therefore, the erusin would require das machna, the erusin require eidim lekiyam hadavar, but chuppah, the nisuim, that would only require kavana, and that would only need eidei birur. What the next stage is, who I did in terms of shlichus. Erusin can be done via shliach, those are sugyas throughout Shas. However, nisuin would come out that there's no shlichus. So you understand that the Nodim Yehuda did not agree with this Reb Chaim. No, the Yehuda says that if we say that Badekin is chuppah, then the chassid could do it on his own, or the chassid could be machabed, an individual do it for him. Shluch Hashadim Kamosa, that's what the Yehuda just wrote over here. He pointed out that if it's not done with the knowledge of the chassid at all, that's not chuppah. But it's chuppah if it's done by the chassid or by the chassid shliach. According to the Rav, the Badekin can only be done by the body of the chassid. He has to do the act on his own. The memela, in other words, the chalos of the nisuim to view the badekin as a symbolic chuppah, that happens on its own. And so the maaseh, the Rav was always very, very makpid that the mother of the kala should not get involved in putting on the veil, because in other words, parents always like to be able, it's a photo opportunity, etc., that she should go down. And Chassan, what do they know about veils? What do they understand in these matters? So the mother tries to help. So the Rav always would say, no, don't touch it. And the chassid would say, well, I'll make her my shliach. No, you can't make her your shliach. This is not erusin. This is nisuin. In the world of nisuin, this is the area of memela. This is an area that doesn't, as Tosus points out, you're not in control. You're just going through the motion, and the result comes about on its own. Okay. This is the structure that I wanted to present to you. The question that you could still ask is, why in the world is this being said in a hespeh for the Brisker Rav? What is the avelus of the Rav, for example, have to do with the world of Erusin and Nisuin? So the answer is that once we have these constructs, maybe they could apply to other areas of halacha as well. Right? This is always something you should think about. That maybe we would also find in other areas of halacha a parallel structure. I have a daughter who got her doctorate in chemistry because she assumed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So if a certain equation worked in one area, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this equation also to work in other areas. And it worked. And so that gave her a doctorate. But she started off with the assumption that there's one world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's one world of halacha. And so over here, the Rav wanted to take this distinction between Erusin and Nisuin and apply it also to the world of Talmud Torah. That there are two ways that one can become a fine Talmud Chacham. One way is by becoming engaged to the Torah, and the other is by becoming married to the Torah. In other words, via Erusin and via Nisuin. If you will just go under the Dagom Revava, the Rav in this Hesped quoted two Gemaras. He quoted Gemara in Barachos Nachim Zayin Amad Aleph, where Gemara we all aware of. Shenemar Torah Tziva Lano Moshe, Morasha Kilat Yaakov, Atikri Morasha Ela Ma'orasa. Right? That one can reach the level of Erusin with the Torah. On the other hand, we have a Gemara in Ksuvus, Adaf Ayin Zayin Amad Beis, where the Gemara deals with individuals who were in learning, but they had a disease that was contagious. And so it says that Amoraim would stay away from them. They didn't want to catch this disease. But Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, he would karech b'hu.
he would help them. Va'osek b'Torah, and he would learn Torah, hugging these individuals with contagious disease. Amar ayelas avim v'yalas chen. He says that the Torah, he's like my wife, and that she loves me and she would protect me, etc., etc. But the context of that pasuk that he quotes in Mishlei is ahavas is yalas chen dodel yeruvucha b'chayit ba'matat yishket amit. We're talking about nisuin. Namely, a person can be mu'uras to the Torah, or he can be nasui to the Torah. So what the Rav said, that 99% of fine Talmidei Chachamim can reach a tremendous darga of erusin to the Torah. Erusin to the Torah means that you have a kinyan, a Torah, like an arus and an arusa, there is a kinyan between them. What's the means? Not kesef shtar biya, but yegiya. Biya yegiya. You can become an Oris to the Torah. And that is a very, very high level. But there are unique individuals, and this was the context of the Hesped, like Reb Chaim, Reb Moshe Salaveshik, Reb Riska Rav, who were Nasui to the Torah, who were married to the Torah. That is a different level. That is not a formal level of knowledge. That is an existential, a metaphysical oneness. That there is an intuitive connection to the Torah, that the entire language of Bris came about with that marriage to the Torah. They were able then to describe the Torah in terminology that was previously not accessible to individuals. And so you have these two levels of Erusin and Nisuin, not only in the world of Ishus, but you have these two levels. Once it's not just stages, right? Like classically people think. But we're dealing with two different worlds. You have the legal and you have the metaphysical. So over here you have the kinyan and you have the achdus. And of course the Rebbe took it one step further in terms of the fact that those who have the erusin, they're connected to Torah with bina. And those who have the nisuim are connected with Torah with chachma. And in the world of flying high, so Bina is basically an intellectual understanding, maybe davar mitach davar, but Chachma is the intuitive understanding. You understand the mahut, you understand the essence. It's a different level of understanding, and that was the context of the Hesped. Okay? It's a very beautiful Hesped. I really feel that if someone would want to appreciate both the Rav who said the Hesped and the Brisker Rav on whom the Hesped was said, it's Kedai to read through. But in any case, it's the same construct that we have, just being moved over to another level. I just want to conclude with another Rav. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael, the Rav is Rav Kook. Right? In other words, in America, the Rav is Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Kook also used this construct. Well, since he writes only poetry and not prose, so it lends itself to interpretation. But my humble opinion, he used this construct in terms of, we expect, in terms of Eretz Yisrael, right? Morashah, so there was just a minute, Morashah is twice in the Torah, once by Torah, and once by Eretz Yisrael. Do we also have a concept of Murasa with Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Kook said, certainly, certainly, certainly. And basically, he answered the question that I think somewhat disturbs us, even if we're not necessarily generally very politically correct. When we learn the first sugya in Kedushin, and we see that Kedusha Isha is via Kesef because of Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron, that's the way that a real estate deal is made, it somehow rubs us the wrong way. In other words, what's the connection between marrying a woman and buying the Trump Tower? In other words, this is not acquisition, this is not real estate, this is not Avdus, we're talking about over here, metaphysical reality. So Rav Kook says, of course not. That's not what the Gemara says. It says, Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. It's not learned out from a real estate transaction. It's learned out from the Kinyan of Eretz Yisrael. That you're Kona a woman the way you're Kona Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael also has Erusin and Nisui. Eretz Yisrael also has a level of Kedusha. There's also a metaphysical connection to Eretz Yisrael. So to say that I'm going to view my Kinyan of an Isha the way I view my Kinyan of Eretz Yisrael, Lehefa, that's beautiful. That's raising it all a level. So that's the section I bring over here on the bottom. The source of this is a pamphlet called Shmuot HaRaya that Rav Kook used to give Shalashuvas Drushas. The problem with Shalashuvas Drushas, they don't make it on YU Torah. But what? There are always those Meshugayim Ladavar who Motzei Shabbos sit down and write up the Shabbos Shiva Sarasha that was said on Shabbos. So Rav Kook had a Talmud who Motzei Shabbos would sit down and write up the Shabbos Shiva Sarasha for a number of years. And Rav Hadari, I think he's the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Takoto. In any case, he had been Rosh Yeshiva Takoto, Rav Yeshaya Hadari, she lived pretty well. He published them. In other words, he got a hold of the Kesadiyah and published them as Shmuel Tariyah, pamphlets on Parshas HaShavua. So with the pamphlet on Chayisara, which is the Parsha of Stei Ephraim, so he writes, "Bigmar lamdu kedushe kesef, kicha kicha mi Stei Ephraim. Likuchen eilu yesh bahem kinyan, v'yesh bahem kedusha. Kinyan mashma'al v'poal al yedei matan kesef. Kedushin mashma'am v'koach." In our terminology, poal and koach generally mean actuality and potential, but they can also mean that you have a legal construct and you have a more of a metaphysical construct. So over here, you have the erusin and you have the nisuin. Chiluk zemet yaches afla eretz Yisrael. Yesh ba kinyan v'poal, v'kinyan, v'kedushin, v'koach. The term kedushin over here, he's using in the context of nisuin. Namely, that you have not just stage one and stage two, but you have you have a formal kinyan and you have a metaphysical kinyan. Makom hamikdash nikra kinyan b'poal hu echa mechamisha kinyanim shekana HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo mahom l'shitzach ha'pa'ol to Hashem mimakom zeh nivra ha'adam kan mekor mitziyuto b'poal. That we have a concept of kinyan, like you can be kone Torah. L'matzeh matil b'gemara bitui kedusha rishan ha'kid shel ha'shaita v'kid shel ha'asid lava. That you can fly into the future with the world of Kedusha. That's like a marriage where, you know, where it starts at a certain point, but it just grows. That the potential is built in. In a real estate deal, there's no potential. It's just a question of an inorganic piece of land. Over here, we're speaking about the world of Poal and Koach. That you have kibush b'poal and then you have kedusha afterwards, etc. Okay, so this construct that we're building currently between erusin and nisuin will help us, of course, I think, to understand what we're dealing with. Rav Kook has a sefer called Oros HaTorah, where he says that when one learns, it's very important to understand that what you're learning. But we learn basically trees. At some point, we should have a sense of the forest. At some point, we should have a sense of what is all this about? Not just all the nitty-gritty, but the nitty-gritty are part of something larger. You can't have something larger without the nitty-gritty. That's called fuzzy. That's called fuzzy-wuzzy. But it's not also, I mean, a person also should strive to understand beyond the understanding of each particular prep. So over here, we're doing it backwards. So sort of trying to give you at the beginning of the year, a structure that hopefully we'll be able to fill in with the pratim, okay? That when we're dealing with the world of erusin, we'll deal with the world of a construct that is given over to us to make chalal shein with das machna with eidim lakiyim hadavar, etc. We'll deal with the world of nisuin. We'll be moving over to the metaphysical reality, to the memela. To the world of a relationship as opposed to a world of that which is simply a legal entity. Okay, so that's the hakadama. Okay, so for next time, what I want to pass these out. So for next time, what I'd like to do is, first start at the bottom of the page. We're going to learn Maseches Kedushin. We'll be learning basically with the world of Rishonim.
The Kovetz Meforshim in this respect would be very, very helpful if you simply want to have one volume on your table instead of many. The Kovetz is Kedushat Chelok Aleph. It covers the first two prakim of the Masechta. First two prakim, the first pair. First parak of the Masechta, and the next bladder three prakim are in Tehillim. Okay, the first parak. So within the world of Rishonim, we have over here basically three schools. The Rambam is a school of his own. We have the school of Chachmei Ashkenaz, and so over here we have Tosfos on the page. There's a Tosfos Harash in the Kovetz. There's also a separate volume of Tosfos Tuch, which is very important because the Tosfos that we have on the page are basically Tosfos Tuch. And so to be able just to see a parallel structure, and of course the Mordechai words. And again, we'll also Shilas and Shuvas, etc. But basically, these are the ongoing Rishonim. Within Sfarad, as opposed to last year in Sanhedrin, we were stuck with almost nothing, just the Ran, which is wonderful, just the Ran. Here we have the Ramban, and the Rashba, and the Ritva, and the Ran on the Rif. And then we have also a separate volume that's in the Kovetz of Talmud HaRashba, and we've been Shita Lodoba Bami. So we don't even really know whose Talmud he was, but it appears that it fits nicer into the world of Chachmei Sfarad, and simply the Ksav Yad. And then we have a world of Chachmei Provence, which is also pretty full, the Baal HaMor. The Ravid, we don't have the Perush of the Ravid, but we have the Hasagos on the Rif and Hasagos on the Rambam. And then we have Rav Avram in Ahar, Rav Avram Montpellier, who lived in Provence, and he is the Tosfos Rihazaken in the margin. Tosfos Rihazaken, of course, lived in France, but this is not the Tosfos Rihazaken, it's just mislabeled. And even though they're going to keep reprinting the Shas, since the Vilna Shas mislabeled it, so the Volozhin Shas will mislabel it, and the Ozva Hadar will mislabel it, I don't know why, but in any case, this is Rav Ram in Ahar. Okay, so you'll see some of the Meiri will quote the Perushim from Minahar that you'll find over here in this in the margin of the Gemara. And of course, the Meiri is the Maaseh Kol Kol HaMachanos. He brings everything together in his own unique manner. There are Achronim, which you're welcome to learn. Within the Kovetz, you have the Pnei Yoshua and the Makne, right? That's the Baal HaFla. Good, calls the Baal HaMakne. In other words, with the Baal, but normally he's known by his Sefer HaKsudos, the HaFla, but the Sefer HaMakne is also a beautiful Sefer. And there is the Avni Miluim, namely that the Ktsos wrote on Eben HaEzer, but not rather calling it Ktsos HaChoshen, which is Choshen Mishpat, he called it the Avni Miluim. On the Eben HaEzer, so that is also deals with many, many sugyos. So when I know of something, I'll send you there. But basically, what I'd like to do with you is to learn Gemara and Rishonim. Of course, I could put Rashi, Gemara and Rishonim, and to try and understand it to the best of our ability. Okay, so we still have one more Hakdama Shir. If we've discussed up to now an overview, and only an overview of Kedushin, Nisuin. Now let's go back to Kedushin. Let's go back to our Perek, Ha'isha Niknes, and discuss what exactly is this Kinyan. Namely, the Mishnah tells us how it is done, Kesef Shtar Bia. But what is it that the Rishonim talk about? And so the question is, are we dealing over here with a mitzvah? Are we dealing over here with a matir? Are we dealing over here with a mitzvah kiyubis? With a mitzvah kiyubis? What are we talking about over here in terms of Kedushin? Simply, structurally, and of course they're nafkaminas, how does it fit in? So over here I sent you to the Rosh, who basically is going to take for granted a certain approach and knock down other options. The Rambam certainly disagrees. The question is, to what degree? And then, do we have rayos one way or another? That's number three. There's Gemara Dinin of the second parak, which would appear to be a raya to one side, but of course, the other side was aware of it. So here, the Ran on the Rif pretty much would back up the Rush. And then, to understand the sugya over there, according to both sides,
I send you also to Gemara and Sukkah. I'm sorry that I have an arrow there, and a Rambam. And then we'll have a third opinion as well. And we're going to see the Rush on one side, the Rambam on the diametrically opposed on the other side, and then there's room for a third opinion. And the third opinion is everyone quotes the name of the Magid Mishnah, but I think it's also the right in Hilchos Ishus, we keep it Medayik in this Lashon as well. Okay? And then when you finish this, in other words, we'll go back, well, then we'll begin reading. And then we'll go back to the Mishnah and the beginning of the Gemara and see Gemara actually comes from the Mishnah. Okay? Is that there?